boy again. Hebrews 4:12.
We're talking about having a heart toward the things of God. You say, where's he going with this? Well, there's three truths that are found in Hebrews 4:12. And if you would, please stand in honor of God's word. If you're able, we'll have prayer and then we'll talk about these. We'll talk about one truth this morning. We'll spend the whole service this morning on one truth. And then the other two truths that will draw you closer to God. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this day, God. I thank you for everyone in attendance, Lord. And Lord, I pray for those that aren't here. You know why they're not here. Some of them are sick. Many of them couldn't be here because of ailments. I pray you touch their bodies, Lord. Lord, help me to say nothing in the flesh, but everything in the spirit today. Bind the hands of demonic forces. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ on this service. And on your servant, help everybody to be attentive just for the next 20 to 25 minutes. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. As I said, there's three truths that's found in Hebrews 4:12 that will draw you closer to God, that will give you a heart for the things of God. And as we've been talking about over the past week or so, is that many Christians today are just going through the motions and they don't truly have a heart for God. We need Christians that have a heart for God. But we're going to talk about today the heart examined. The heart examined. That word heart comes from the Greek word cardia. Cardia is where we think of cardiac and those words that we get for the word heart. And it means the moral center or hidden personal life. In other words, it's easy. It's who you really are. When your external says one thing, it's who the hidden man is of the heart, as the Bible says. It's who the true you is. That's what that word means about the heart. Psalm 139:23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts." Isn't it a scary thought to know, Brother Michael? I know for me, even as a pastor, that God knows my thoughts. Brother Harold, he knows my thoughts. He knows my thoughts for the whole week, for my whole life. And listen, folks, I guarantee you, including myself, everybody in here, that if your thoughts could be projected this morning, you would hang your head in shame, wouldn't you? But that shows the true intent of the heart. 1 Peter 3:4, as I've already alluded to, it says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit." See, the hidden man is the man that God sees. It's the true you. It's the you that shines forth when nobody else is looking. It's been said that character, Brother Brooks, is this. Character is what you do when nobody else knows that you've done it, right? Right? When you find that $1,000 in a wallet on the side of the ground, and you're the only one that finds it, that's when you find out whether your true character is there or not, right? When you return that wallet, there's $1,000 still in there, right? Amen. That shows your true character. I had a friend one time, and he said he was dating this girl, and this girl was really pushing marriage, you know, pushing. Just pushy, pushy, pushy. After a month or two, and he said, no, he said, "We're going to date at least a year to a year and a half, because it takes that long for somebody's true fruit to come out." And sure enough, about 7 months later, they were broke up. Right? And he avoided a nasty divorce probably. You know why? Because you can only put on a front for so long before the true you comes out. Amen? Now notice, it's God that reveals the heart. First of all, the Word of God is alive. Psalm 119:50 says, "This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy Word hath quickened me." John 6:63 says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life." 1 Peter 1:23 says, "The word of God which liveth and abideth forever." You need to understand that you're dealing with a living book. You're not dealing with a copy of Tom Sawyer or a copy of the Call of the Wild or some kind of man book out there or some kind of secular book out there. You're dealing with a book that is alive, and when you're reading this book, it's reading you.
Amen.
It's reading you, amen. Listen, the Word of God is powerful. It says in that verse, the Word is quick and it's powerful. I mean, listen, the Word of God performs spiritual surgery on you. That's why it's alive. It's the only book on this planet that can do that spiritual surgery. Colossians 2:12 says, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God." Psalm 28:5 says, "Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands." Isaiah 5:12 says, "And the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and the wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands." Listen, when you were saved, the Word of God performed this operation on you. That's why the Bible says that you become a new creature when you were saved. Because when you knelt down, the Holy Spirit made a change in you. He cut your soul and spirit apart. It was a spiritual operation. You didn't know what took place. You didn't feel it. It didn't hurt. But you knew when you stood up, there was a change in you that took place, David. And that's what took place. It was that stony heart. Ezekiel 36:26 says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you." Listen, this is the only book on earth that can truly change a person from the inside out. No other self-help book can do it, Brother Brooks. It might help you for a little while. You might be able to go to the shelf on help on pornography, help on drugs, help on alcohol, help on this, help on finances, help on that. But listen, this is the only book that has all the answers for you. Amen. Listen, the Word of God is sharp. Ephesians 6:17 says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit." Understand that this book in the hands of the Holy Spirit is a surgical tool. And listen, that's the reason we see a lot of lost people in the church today. They're lost, they're sitting on the pew, and they're all led by emotion. It's because the Word of God has been removed from the pulpit. The surgical tool that can change lives has been removed, and it's been replaced with song, with dance, with entertainment, with everything else but the truth.
Yes.
And that's why you're not seeing lives change. And that's why people are flocking to these new churches like that. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void." I mean, this simply means that if you stick it out, you're going to cut somebody. That doesn't mean people say, "Hey, it will not return void. Everybody's going to get saved." That's not what that verse means. The verse means if you stick it out there, it's going to affect people in one of two ways. We find over in Judges 3:17, we know about Eglon, the king of Moab, and how Eglon, it says, was a very fat man. And it says Ehud, who was one of the judges of Israel, came in, and he had a hidden dagger. And guess what he did with that dagger? He represented Israel, and he stabbed the king, and said the fat enclosed around it. And notice what it says in Judges 3:22, "And the dirt came out." Listen, most people don't like it when you stick the Word of God out to them, because their dirt comes out. See, it cuts them, and their dirt comes out spiritually. It reveals who they truly are. That's why they say, "Don't judge me. Don't bring that out about me. Hey, I don't believe in organized religion. Keep religion away from me." You know why? Because you're sticking them. They don't like it, right? They don't like it. Keep it away from them. It hurts them,
amen?
But that's what the Bible does. Listen, in Acts 5:32 it says, "And we are his witness of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." When they heard that, they were cut to the heart. They were under conviction, but listen to what they did. And they took counsel to slay them. Same thing happened over in Acts 7:54. They were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now listen, a lot of people, when you stick it out there, they're going to get mad about it. And they're going to want to kill you. They're going to want to put down the messenger. They're wanting to turn you into the supervisor. They're wanting to turn you into the principal of the school. They're wanting to do something to you. They want to totally dishonor you in any way they can because you represent Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
But notice this in Acts 2:37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart, conviction, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" Listen, folks. You're going to respond in one of two ways. You're either going to get mad and mad at the messenger, and come out with an all of slaw against them, or you're going to be convicted and you're going to say, "What must I do to be saved? What must I do?"
Amen.
One of the two, amen? 1 Peter 1:23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever." Listen, the Word of God is the only tool that will pierce a sinful heart and lead to salvation. The only one. You're not going to get salvation to God through any other way. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." I don't care what religion you turn to, you're not going to get there unless you go through the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Period. Amen. Now listen, the Word of God pierces. That pierce means to cut completely through. And let me tell you something. This Word of God will cut you to the core. Amen.
Amen.
It will cut you. You can't play around with this Word without drawing back a nub sometimes, Brother Jack. I do that studying for my lesson sometimes. When I'm studying to give this to you, I go, "Ooh, that hurt." Right?
Amen.
Listen, folks, this Word of God will cut you. It will pierce you. It will reveal your true heart condition. We know about the young ruler that came to Jesus. He said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus started going through him. He says, He says, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Jesus started going through them, and he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. And isn't that the way we are? Well, I've done that, and I've done that, and I've done that, until the preacher hits on your one sin that you're holding on to.
Amen.
Uh-oh. Now you got a problem, don't you? Well, hey, I've done all that. I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. But look at what he says. He says, now when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, yet lackest thou one thing. See all that thou hast, and distribute, sell it, and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And when he heard this, he went away sorrowful. Now listen, God's not saying that all rich people go to hell. There's some good, godly, rich people. They're good, and they love the Lord, but they love the Lord more than they love their money. But God knew, Jesus knew, that this man loved his money more than he loved him.
Yeah.
What is it in your life you love more than Jesus? Right? They say, I've done that, I've done that, I've done that. But still like to drink a little. Don't talk about my drinking. Hey, I still want to go to the convenience store, get me a six pack now. Preacher, don't hit me there now. I'll give everything up but my alcohol. Right?
Yeah.
What is it you're holding on to that keeps you from having a true walk with the Lord? Amen. A true walk. I think about the Pharisee and the publican. You know the story, how they went in? And they went in to praise the Lord. And the Pharisee went on about how good he was. He said, I'm not as extortioners are, or unjust, or adulterers, or even as this publican. I give up my tithes and all that I possess. But the publican went in and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And listen, folks, that's the type of repentance that God's looking for. And listen, repentance is still a biblical doctrine. It's not being preached today. It's saying, hey, just come as you are. Hey, doesn't matter what you're into. You can hold on to it. You can stay in your sin. Just repeat this prayer and you'll be fine. Listen, folks, repentance must take place. You must realize you're a sinner and that you need to turn from your sin before God can save you.
Amen.
Luke 24:47 says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations. It says in Acts 11:18, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Romans 2:4 says, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Acts 17:30 says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth men, are all men everywhere, to repent. Everywhere. I can't stand people that say, Brother Jeff, all you got to do is just say the sinner's prayer. Repentance isn't part of New Testament salvation. Well, my Bible says, all men everywhere to repent. That's Jew, that's Gentile, that's there. All men, right? And women, amen?
Amen.
Repentance is still essential for salvation. Listen, in Matthew 8:21, we had one of his disciples come unto him and said, Lord, I'll follow you, but listen, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And I heard a scholar talking about this, and it made sense. And Jesus told him to let the dead bury their dead. But he said, you know, no doubt this disciple was probably an eldest son. And his father hadn't just died, which a lot of people teach it that way, but I think this could have been the case in that he was saying, wait until my father dies and I will follow you, Lord, because, listen, I'm next in line for this inheritance. Right? If I follow you now, I'm going to lose this. My dad will cut me off. He's a Jew and he'll cut me off and my youngest son will get this money. So I want to follow you, Lord, but not that bad. Right?
That's right.
And isn't that the way we are today? Many people don't get saved. And they plunge right into hell for all eternity, burning and screaming and falling forever, all because they said, I can't give that up right now.
Amen.
I can't give it up right now. Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, I believe what Brother Jeff is saying. Lord, I've heard you talk to me many times and knock on my heart's door by the Holy Spirit and tell me I'm lost and tell me I need to be saved. Can't do it right now, Lord. Let me do this first. Listen,
yes.
Folks, you're on dangerous ground if you're treading there today.
Yes.
Dangerous ground.
Yes.
Listen, we have too many people in the church today who do things to be seen and known of men. We find here it says, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Let thine alms be in secret, and thy Father which seeth secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they might be seen of men. Verily, they have their reward. Listen, folks. That's not saying you shouldn't pray in public. There's nothing wrong with bowing your head and asking the Lord to touch your food and bless your food. Hey, let people know you're Christian. Nothing wrong with that. But here's what they did. They come out in the best robes. They come out on the street corner, and they'd be all, and they'd be all in the street, you know, and looking all pious and looking all religious, right? Look at how religious I am. That's what God has a problem with, amen.
Amen.
That's what He has a problem with. We got too many of the people in the church doing that today. Brother Daniel, you can come get a song ready. Why do you really serve the Lord today? Now listen, we've talked about one thing, the heart examines. We're going to talk about two more tonight. You say, why are you harping on the Word of God? Because listen, if you don't have the Word of God right in your life, you're not going to have a heart for the things of God. Listen, if you don't have a heart for the Word of God, you're not going to have a heart for God Himself, because this is God. Amen? This tells you everything you need to know about God. This is a living book. Jesus Christ Himself was called the Word incarnate. Word, God in the flesh. And His words are recorded right here. Living words. Is there something that's keeping you from serving God today? Is there something that's keeping you from being sold out for Christ and doing what you need to do? Is there something that's keeping you from coming to Christ for salvation? Why not put that aside today and say, Lord, I know this is wrong. You say, Brother Jeff, I'm not good enough. I've tried to quit. I can't do it. Listen, whatever you're holding on to, if you'll trust God with it and say, God, I know it's wrong. Say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Say, God, help me. I tell you, God will help take it from you. If you'll just leave it to Him, and if you'll follow what He says to do in His Word, I promise you, He's delivered many people here, many people from sin, and He can deliver you too. He delivered me. Amen. He can deliver you. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, everyone standing, if you're able. You may be here this morning, you say, Brother Jeff, I don't know the Lord as my personal Savior. Listen, I've given you enough gospel this morning that there's no reason whatsoever that you can't step out this morning and come down and ask the Lord to save you. No reason. You're without excuse, as the Bible says. Don't reject Him again today. Come down, turn it over to Him, and accept Him as your personal Savior. Maybe